What's up, bitches and hoes? Oh, let's just start off being offensive. This is Riding with the Wolf because I don't have time to do this shit in my house. So while I'm running errands, I got some stuff to beef on. This episode, mild review of episode one of Pam and Tommy on Hulu. Give it a listen. I've been around celebrities. I got a lot to say on this subject. So here's the thing. A targeted ad actually found something worthwhile for me. Hulu put up an ad on Twitter that a new miniseries was out called Pam and Tommy. Obviously, it's Tommy Lee of Motley Crue and Pamela Anderson, and I can only imagine that you would know this is about the infamous sex tape. The first in the days of the budding internet, before hackers and leaks and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm a big fan of that era, the 80s and 90s, and the music and the outlandish scenes and things like that. And without any prior knowledge of what's going on and how or why these things get released, I had a preconceived notion of why that sex tape came out. I just thought it was somebody trying to make a quick buck. They play it out that the person that does these things, like, you know, whoever ratted out Hogan or set up secret cameras or hacked into Paige's cell phone or iCloud account. First of all, never post your naked pictures on a cloud anywhere. I mean, that's just fucking stupid. But anyway, my entire life I've had this preconceived notion that the guy that did that with the sex tape was just paparazzi. Now, I'm sure there are some things that are taken with liberty as far as the details go. But I watched that first episode of how this guy got the sex tape, and I was livid. I'm so irate and mad at Tommy Lee. And first of all, the actors and the people portraying Pam and Tommy and everyone in that scenario, even the opening scene with Jay Leno, holy shit. Kudos to the casting director on that, because they nailed it. Everybody looks like exactly the person that they're portraying. Winter Soldier as Tommy Lee, never would have guessed it, but holy shit, perfect. Absolutely perfect. So, you know, it's based off a true story. I'm sure they take some liberties, but again, we just assume that it was a paparazzi asshole that did it. And that's not what happened. According to this show, and according to the story, and this is spoiler alert, if you want to watch it, stop now, go watch it for yourself, and come back and finish up here. Now, let's get into it. Let's start off by saying that we know stories about Tommy Lee from the very beginning. He's an asshole. Rock stars are assholes. Motley Crue started the legends and were the biggest assholes of the whole 80s. I mean, watch that Netflix show. I forget what it's called. Something Dirty. A lot of those stories probably blown out of proportion, but 90% of them are true and pretty dead on. They were just absolute terrors. And rock stars and celebrities and nowadays influencers and rappers and things like that, they're absolutely the worst to deal with. I've been around a ton of them, and they're all dicks. All of them. So, you know, I enjoy Tommy Lee's music. I enjoy Motley Crue. I enjoy Methods of Mayhem, which they used, you know, to profit off of this whole thing with Get Naked, which that was a smart turnaround. But my God. So here's the story, if you've got to this point now and you want to hear the spoilers. He's got this new mansion he's building, and he's got a couple of co-workers or construction workers in the house, and he's a flippant rock star. He goes off and he just changes his mind constantly. No, you know, no concern or anything with how these things are coming up. These people are apparently fronting their money. He's not paying them. They're getting in debt. He keeps changing his mind, which is screwing over the construction workers. And I get it. The first few instances, it makes you so mad how he treats these construction workers. And you know it's true. Anybody that's seen videos of celebrities, look at the whole thing with Christian Bale back in the day when someone recorded him screaming at someone on set saying, "Oh, good for you, fucking good for you." So we know celebrities are dicks to lesser people. And that's just how it rolls. So I am at the first stop. I will come back at you and give you that chance to bow out now if you hadn't seen it or you don't want the spoilers. All right, post office is always a madhouse. Dropped off a bunch of packages for the Wolf Club. Sold out of a lot of stuff. Backed up on orders, but we're catching up, so all is good in the hood. All right, back to the show. Tommy's got these construction workers in his house, and he keeps changing his mind, costing these people money. So, you know, it starts off with he wanted the bed by the window so he could fuck Pam and looking outside, and then he changed it, and he wanted the sex swing, and then he wants it moved a quarter of an inch this way, and then he finally says, "Okay, you know what? Money's no option. You got a problem with me?" And you know, he's flashing his guns, trying to intimidate the guy and tell him he's got 50 million gold records or all this bullshit. And then it comes down to the final straw where the guy's like, "Yeah, I don't just want it over the side with a rotating mirror. I want the fucking waterbed or some stupid shit like that." And the guy just, he loses it. He loses his cool. He's like, "That's fucking it." And his grand scheme is to, and I thought it went differently. I thought the guy set up like a secret camera or something like that. And apparently he didn't. The guy goes into the house, creates this master plan where he's going to steal the safe in the garage that had all of Tommy's guns in it. And then he finds like watches and cash and lives like a king and all this, you know. But as with everyone in Hollywood and LA, they were all part of the porn industry at one point. So this guy finds a mysterious tape in the safe and he decides to take it to his old porn buddy, Ron Swanson, actually, which is kind of fun. Cast is really lovable. Even if you hate the characters, you love the casting. So and they discover that this tape that they found in the safe, by accident, haphazardly, was a sex tape. And Pam and Tommy's personal memories. So that's not even why. I mean, the guy just basically hit the lottery. Now, again, I'm going to be interested in this story, because I'm sure he didn't get away with it. I'm sure he's in prison or had to pay back damages, didn't get to be a millionaire. I don't know. But I was irate with the way Tommy treated this guy. And I think it was karma. I think it was justification. I think for shoving a gun in somebody's face and telling them your tools are mine now, just being an absolute dick and picking on the guy, I think that guy had absolutely every right to seek compensation and take back what was his, or take collateral damage and whatnot. I know that's not the way the law works, and I know celebrities, you know, as they make famous quotes in the story, that they can hire celebrity judges and the team behind OJ and whatnot. But I know celebrities can be assholes, and not just celebrities. I think the worst ones are the wannabe celebrities. And I see that a lot in Vegas. I see a lot of people who think they're the shit, that don't have time for you, that pick on you. And, you know, there's a lot of issues here. There's a big difference in humility and someone who gets empowered and is just an absolute dick. I've met a lot of people that are very kind. You know, let's look at wrestlers. Greg Valentine, he may not be the richest legend, but he'll sit down and talk to you. Seems like Tugboat is the same. Kevin Nash won't give you the time of day. He's drunk. He's a rock star. He's a millionaire. He doesn't give a fuck about you or want to share a story. But Greg Valentine will. He's more appreciative of the legacy and the things that he's, you know, created or left behind, or the things that people are appreciating him for. So when I was at the Bunny Ranch, I noticed another couple characteristics as well. One of them was people put on a show. Dennis Hoff, my boss, I loved him dearly. He was a great guy. Sort of a shrewd businessman, and would exaggerate a lot of things, but that's just the way, you know, 80s, 90s realtors and businessmen and people were. You can't call everyone on the facts on stuff. It's the same thing with Trump. He was a business mogul, so of course he's going to exaggerate and stretch the truth a little bit. That's just the way things are. But Dennis always put on a show when there was people around to impress. And he was never mean. He would never yell at people, but he had that sort of posture like, don't mess with me. And, you know, I'd go into his office and see the guns on the table, and I know he would never point one at me, or I'd put his guns in his car, or I'd see that he had them on the nightstand and things like that. Never once was I ever afraid for my life, and never ever once heard that he intimidated himself or a girl or anyone else and used those guns as a intimidation tool. Never once. Why were they out in the open, though? Well, you know, Larry Flint said, was when he got in the business, he said, you're a pimp now. And there's a lot of things that go with that. So, you know, I won't say which one, but there were issues with motorcycle clubs that thought they deserved 100% of the girls' pay. And, you know, let me give you some backstory. Maybe you don't know about this, but this may be something interesting for you. The way brothels work and the way a lot of strip clubs work is you pay your dues, your fees, and then the girls split their earnings with the house. So as far as the Bunny Ranch, the girls had, it was like $25 a day they had to pay for their room and board. They had to pay for their doctor visit, which the first one was like, I think it was like $200. And then that was the big one where they tested for everything. And then every week afterwards was just the regular blood and the STD test. So that wasn't as expensive. They had to pay for their cost of travel. And then they had to pay for any supplies or anything that they didn't bring with them. But then as far as what they negotiated with the house, they had to give 50%. So in other words, if you watched Cat House on HBO, which I was on the first season, I had longer hair, probably wouldn't recognize me. If you watched the first season, they may have said this, I don't even know if it's insider or not, but they give 50% to the house. So if you negotiate a party, which means you take a client and show them the tour of the place, then you take them to your room, you close the door, and you start negotiating what could happen. The guy expresses what he wants to do. If he says a bunch of things, then you offer a party, which is basically an hour-long session, and most girls would start at about $1,000, and the party would last an hour. But, of course, that depended on how new the girl was, or who she was, if she was a celebrity, or if you just wanted to, you know, ground and pound for 5 minutes, they'd say, all right, let's just do that. It was a negotiation. But whatever was negotiated in the room, And we had intercoms, so we could listen. We knew what was going on, knew they weren't hustling. That they would give 50% to the house. So if they did a $1,000 party, the house got $500 and the girl got $500, which doesn't seem like a lot when you're negotiating, say, a $100, $200 party over at Kit Kat across the street or Sagebrush, where you're only missing out on $50 or $100. But when you're losing out $500 because you negotiated a $1,000 party and all these girls are like, fuck, I'm making $1,000, and then you get your envelope the next day and it's like, oh shit, I did all that dick sucking for $500? Fuck this. So you learn how to renegotiate. Anyway, that's some insider stuff. And a lot of the motorcycle clubs and pimps or people that quote-unquote owned the girls that would come in thought they deserved 100% of the pay, or they got a cut. No, you don't, motherfucker. You work for us. We get half. They get half. If you get a cut, it comes out of their half. We did the advertising. We did the... We had the spot for them. We had the storefront for someone to shop around. So that's the dues they pay for working at the most world-famous brothel in America. So that's how that works. And because of that contention, that's why there were guns around. That's why Dennis would have guns laying about. It was just to show him that he could, but he never once touched them. Never once have I ever seen it even hold one, but they were just there. So I don't want you to get the wrong idea or, quote me or throw this out post-mortem for, Dennis to get in trouble with some bullshit. But even still, that's how the celebrity world worked. So when you see the shows like Pam and Tommy in, I'm going 65 and in a 45, motherfucker. Calm your ass down, Utah Plate 60CJ6. Fucking white BMW. Shit. It's construction zone. Mind your P's and Q's. Anyway. Douchebags are going to be in and out of the town because Pro Bowl's coming. We just had some hockey thing, and I'm driving around the back way to go see some planes and whatnot. Anyway. And as far as some of the celebrities that I met, Grizzly Adams was great. Carrot Top wasn't too bad. Chris Angel's nice. Zach Bagans is a germaphobe, but still relatively polite and whatnot. So, when you get rich, you don't have to be a douchebag. And Tommy Lee, that's the only stories that are out there, is that he's an extreme douchebag. And that's the way he was to this guy. And it makes me mad because you've heard me rant on jobs and bosses and the way they treat you. No one should ever hold a gun to your face for intimidation just because they have power. Look at politics. You know that shit happens in politics. And they're doing it just because they can get away with it. They have the money to do it. And they can get out of it and find a way to fuck you over even more for even saying anything. I hate the way the world works, but it's just sad but true. Da-da-da-da-da-bonk. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, it's... Oh, look at that motherfucker. We met up at the exact same stop sign. People, if you speed around and you drive like a douchebag, you're still going to meet the same person you sped past at the next stoplight. Anywho. It's a sad world when people in power abuse their power because they can, but you know that it happens, so it should come as no surprise. Now, a couple things happen is people either strive for that, they want to be an influencer so they can become a bully and treat people like shit, or they want to be a rapper or something for that. Very few people, Gene Simmons said it best, you don't get into rock and roll unless you're in it for sex and money, and if that's not what you're there for, you're a liar. That's exactly why people get into the music business. And speaking of Gene, he got so pissed at California that he decided to leave California and get a house in Henderson here south of Vegas. Bought it for like $10 million and now it's up for sale for $13 million. So of course he's making money off of it, but you know, if you got the money, why not? But now he's like, yeah, I'll take Bitcoin. Yeah, fucking A. Like, I'm gonna transfer $13 million in Bitcoin and phony money. Hell no. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But, you know, fucking celebrities, that's who they are and that's what they do. So, back to Tommy. It made me irate because I've been through several situations in my life where bosses, celebrities, people above you act like they're better than you and they treat you like shit. You know, when I worked at that biker bar and the one that Coyote Ugly stole all the dance moves and the idea from and all that bullshit. The owner was just a bitch. An absolute bitch. And she would pull stunts. Very bad stunts. And I can't say any of them because Lord knows the soundbite it. Tag her and use it against me. But let's just say, like, a lot of the bullshit you would imagine Tommy Lee doing to someone is what this bitch would do to people and intimidate them and threaten them and threaten their lives and their jobs and their livelihoods or, you know, all these things. But then the very next minute, you know, if you were drunk off your ass, give you a line of blow so that you could drive home safely. That was her Good Samaritan thing. And, I mean, that's just how Vegas works. I've had several bartending jobs that are like that. But, it's a different world once you get into being a celebrity or being around them. And it shouldn't happen. So anything bad that happens to a celebrity, I laugh. I think it's great. I love it. Very few people would I ever feel sorry for. Except for one, and immediately came to mind, is Ron Jeremy. I'm still pissed about that. Ron was a very humble, very nice, almost sort of simple person. Mentally simple is what I mean. I mean, he was very much a simpleton. This guy got his fame by being able to curl up like a hedgehog and suck his own dick. That's why he got the nickname Hedgehog. And I remember joking because he came out with a rum, Ron Jeremy's rum. And the original bottle was longer, taller, sort of like a Sky or a Ciroc vodka bottle. And of course it was supposed to be the size and, you know, mimic his dick. And then they changed it so it was more like a cognac bottle and it was shorter, stubbier, and round. I was like, oh, so they went from a bottle that looked like his dick to his body. Because he's now it looks like it. I mean, he went from being called the hedgehog to looking like a hedgehog. But, you know, he's fucking Ron Jeremy. That's something, whether people would want to admit it or not, they all wanted, every guy wanted to be Ron Jeremy. He would fuck anyone he wanted to, do anything he wanted to. People would try and fuck him to get what they wanted or to get into the porn business. And now because of the whole Me Too movement and all the bullshit, we're taking all these old celebrities, you know, putting them in jail. Bill Cosby goes into prison for all the shit that he did. Okay, so maybe roofing people is a bad thing, but also don't go to Hollywood parties as a starlet trying to, you know, make your way in Hollywood, because powerful people do powerful things in powerful positions. That's just what happens, whether you like it or not. I know it's hard to hear. I know you're like, well, no one should ever be raped. No one should ever be roofied. You're absolutely 100% a billion times correct on that. But if your intention to be there wasn't genuine, without knowing the surroundings that you're in, you're almost just as much at fault. Now, I know you're gasping, like, wait, you're saying these women deserved it? Or no, because there's guys that were taken advantage, too. If any of the stories coming out now about Rock Hudson, God, I feel sorry for the dude having to deal with Hollywood and all the that kind of crap, never being able to tell anyone that you're gay, but still being a part of this underground gay community. Like, that's just, that's got to be heartbreaking and terrible to deal with. But, yeah, like, you don't go to a One Percenters biker club, an outlaw biker motorcycle club, clubhouse, and not expect to have to put out for the members. Even the old ladies get passed around. You're there for a reason. But because of being there, you also get the protection and know that you can pull out your card and call any of these members and they'll be there to take care of business should you ever need it. Same thing with Hollywood. You go to these parties to know powerful people, knowing that you can pull a favor when you need it. And all these girls and women and everything that thought they were going to be porn stars that didn't make it because they slept with Ron Jeremy are now part of the whole Me Too movement and blaming him for basically their failures. So you slept with Ron Jeremy. Big fucking deal. Oh, well, he grabbed me and touched me. Oh, my God. I've seen all of us at the Bunny Ranch randomly grab some chick and fingered her at the bar. That's what the place was for. I even dated one girl. It's like, God, Dennis got me off in the kitchen in front of all the other girls. And this was somebody I was dating, and she was bitching to me, and she's like, I'm so embarrassed. And I was like, bitch, you just finished your porn for Buttman last week, and you're mad that you were flirting with the boss and he called your bullshit and bent you over and fingered the fuck out of you and made you squirt all over the lunch counter? Fuck off. God, I'm a terrible person. I'm going to hell. But seriously, like, come on. Don't give me that bullshit that you were taken advantage of. You made a shit ton of money. Shut the fuck up. But imagine being a guy in Hollywood. Maybe you just were born there before it became Hollywood, or your family raised you there or whatnot, and you're not everyone in Hollywood, even actors, are all going to be millionaires. You're just trying to make a buck. And sometimes you get one job that will pay for your whole year's salary, and you still live in a shitty apartment, but you did Tommy Lee's bathroom, and now you made 50 grand for that year. You might have had 25 in overages, but it was enough to live on to where you could take little side gigs here and there. So, you know, whatever. People, if you're not taking advantage of somebody, you're doing life wrong. And if you say that you're not taking advantage of somebody, you're a liar. There's maybe one or two people that I've ever met that are genuinely good-hearted, good-natured people that don't expect anything in return. I actually think one of them's probably listening right now. But we'll leave it at that. People are nasty. People take advantage of things. And you're doing life wrong. And you can't constantly be walked all over in your life. If you're one of those people that do give and do support people, you got to ask yourself what you're getting out of it. And if you're not getting anything out of it, then you need to stop being walked all over. Now, I'm not saying break into Tommy's house, steal his safe, pawn his guns, and see this, you know, send the sex tape to a porn industry and make millions off of it. But if Tommy Lee held a gun to your face and threatened your life, stole your tools, fired you, didn't pay you for the job that you had put out 20 grand to do, then all right, well, maybe the asshole deserved it. I'm at stop 2. And I am going to come back at you afterwards. Oh, well, I'm ready for a nap and stuff. So, the second stop was just Mom's. I decided to go grab a lunch dinner over there. Gotta love Mom's meatloaf. Always good stuff. But anyway, this whole celebrity thing bothers me. How people think they can get away with things. And I've always been the type that tries his hardest to not let people get away with things. You know, there's so many people out there that do and say stuff not expecting you to react appropriately. Case in point, posting on social media. There's a lot of shit talkers on social media that wouldn't even come close to saying something like they do online to your face. They can't even call them keyboard warriors anymore because it's, they're social justice warriors and they're all on their phones and everything now. No one has a keyboard anymore. But, man, I used to do some terrible things. People riding my ass, I would slam on my brakes, and when they go to flip me off, I'd chase them down. I used to have a Tiburon, and, man, they thought they'd get away from me. The only thing you couldn't catch up with are those soccer mom minivans. Those things are the fastest fuckers on earth. But, I used to chase them down. There was one guy that decided to flip me off after riding my ass, almost causing an accident. Chased him down. He went down the wrong way, and he's like, well, there's obviously if I stop, he's not going to get out of the car. So I called every bluff that he did, and then as soon as I go to get out of the car, he fucking speeds off. It's like, what, you want to be a badass? One of these days, you're going to do that to the wrong person. And then I just started realizing it doesn't matter. You can't teach people a lesson anymore. Vigilante justice is impossible to do. Because even someone in the wrong cannot be corrected if they don't want to. They'll come up with some reason that they were harassed or that you wronged them. It's just a terrible society that we live in. I got so mad watching that first episode. Like, if Tommy Lee pulled a gun on me and told me to leave my tools, I'd swipe that shit out of my face so fast, because one, it's probably not loaded. Two, if he actually killed someone, he doesn't want to go to prison for it, so he's just threatening you. And three, you know, it's all just posturing. He's a rock star, thinks he can get away with it, but I would love to see the day when people like that don't get away with it. Like, let's forget about what words people are saying to each other, or God knows, let's just stop talking about Jews. Well, I'll be the one to say it. I mean, literally, even happy Black History Month, first day, Whoopi gets suspended for saying something about Jewish people, and albeit something stupid. But then, you know, what? Is it a wrestler just did the same thing? Who was that? I don't really follow it anymore. It was some wrestler, Brian Kendrick, who was about to make his debut on AEW, and someone who's out there waiting for you to be successful has blackmail on you. They used to call it blackmail. They don't anymore. Has blackmail on you. And he had to apologize because he was a Holocaust denier or some, you know, stupid shit like that. And then Whoopi Goldberg gets to say that it was a white-on-white crime, that it wasn't racist, that Jews are white or something stupid. So what have we learned in 2021? Just stop talking about Jews. Don't mention them. Don't acknowledge them. Don't say anything about their culture. Don't say anything about their past. Don't bring up the Holocaust, but for God's sakes, acknowledge that it's there. I mean, that is the epitome of the example of today's society. You cannot win. There's zero you can do to win in any given situation. And I'm not even going to say that if you're right, you're going to win, because how do we know what's right anymore? It's just absolutely terrible. You know, I look at these shows and I look at these situations and I think, what would I do in that situation? You know, WWWD, what would Wolf do? Well, first of all, I wouldn't have started the job till the motherfucker signed a contract, and I wouldn't have fronted any of the money to do any of the work. And then, much like I do with commissions, you're only allowed 2 revisions or change of minds before I'm charging you extra. So if he wanted his bed on one side of the room versus the other, then to change it to a water bed, which is a completely different structure and all these things, that should have been talked about. It's a breach of contract, and it would be something you could take to court, where he would have to now pay damages or pay extra for the work that's being done. So, and there could have been things like that. I'm just going off of what I'm seeing in the show that's angering. You really just have to do absolutely everything to watch your ass these days. I don't, because I don't owe my life to anyone. I don't work for anyone but myself. I don't say or do anything that I could be held accountable for, because there's nothing. I mean, what are you going to do? Go to my landlord and say I have a podcast where I said some bad words? I talked about Jews or something today. You're going to flag me on social media like that one British bastard tried to do and gave me free publicity? What was it? What did he call it? Like wolf poop or something? God, you know, you actually can have an at with profanity in it. And this dude thought he made his claim to fame off a trace in my art. Now he's going to try and go viral off of me again. Like, dude's sucking my dick on my coattails for so long now. He even wants to, I mean, it didn't work. I'm still here. I'm still making money as an independent contractor, as an artist, and I'm making figures. I mean, get over yourselves, people. And I know I'm lucky, and a lot of people aren't in that situation. You might have kids, you might have a job, you might need to have certain things, and you might need to watch your mouth, you might need to watch your ass. I don't think that's fair. And I will do everything I possibly can to help you argue and debate that point if it comes to that. I've coached and talked to a lot of my friends who've told me their situations, and I've given them valid arguments to retort with. But, you know, look at Nevada. Nevada is a right-to-work state, and if you fart the wrong way, they don't have to give you a reason to fire you. They could just fire you because they want to. And that's not the case. You know, in Seattle, they have to give you, you know, 2 write-ups, suspension without pay, and all these different things. And then they can put in to have you fired because they're afraid they're going to get sued. Nevada doesn't give a shit. Which is obvious, because I probably could have sued half of my employers over, dangerous workspace, stuff like that. So I understand that most people have to watch their ass. It doesn't make it right, and I think it's a shame that that's how society is. I absolutely hate it. I hate that you can work your entire life, maybe even turn your life around, get clean and sober, mind your P's and Q's, and then you finally get a good job, and there's that person that's been waiting for years for you to get an opportunity just so they can blackmail you and pull out, look what this person did. When they were in high school, they protested this, and now they're saying this. I mean, what type of a shitty person do you have to be to try and stop someone's success? So, Brian Kendrick, he said some stupid shit about the Holocaust, that it didn't happen, that it wasn't millions, it was only like 100,000 that died or something stupid, and then he went on to say others have done way worse. I don't know what his agenda was for that, or why he even brought that out, or where the interview came from. I don't care. But seriously, that's what you're going to cancel him for? Oh, imagine you're the employer and you have to go up to him and say, I'm sorry, man, I can't book you tonight. You said the J word. That sounds pretty fucking ridiculous if you think about it. Oh, Hulk Hogan, you know what? You've done all of these major accomplishments in your entire life. You were having a private conversation in your own home, said the N word with a hard R. You know what? Oh, we're going to make you not a legend. And then 8 years later, you couldn't do anything to erase his legacy. You just kind of had to deal with the fact that Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair will always be there, and pretty much everything they've ever done or will do can be and will be forgiven. So, where are we at with the original conversation? If you're a person in power or a celebrity, you can get away with anything, right or wrong. You know I go off on that Hogan thing every chance that I get. And I wasn't even the biggest Hogan fan. I don't even know if you guys know this. I actually couldn't stand Hogan. I hated that he wrestled like a bad guy, bent the rules, was always given the championship, and would have to do a 5 to 10 minute pose down after every single match, when I would much rather be watching Shawn Michaels or The Ultimate Warrior or something like that. Hulk Hogan irritated the fuck out of me when I was a kid, and so much so that I didn't even like his figures, because they would have so many of them on the shelf and he never changed his outfit. It was the exact same outfit every time. I don't know why we keep buying Ultimate, Extended, Super, Basic, Elite versions of his figure, because it's the same fucking figure. But, you know, whatever. We couldn't get rid of him or tarnish his legacy. It failed. He won. He's back in action. He's back as a legend. He's back as a spokesperson for the WWE. And right or wrong, he was a celebrity. He got away with anything that he said. Now, does that mean, you know, it's a huge moral debate. It really is. You know, who do you fault? And how bad or severe of a punishment do you fault the person for? So Tommy Lee was a dick. You know how many contractors and people would probably kill and undercut each other just to get that job? And then the guy was treated poorly? Well, it should be no shock, because Tommy Lee's a dick. Motley Crue are assholes. I mean, that's a whole nother subject. I've had personal experiences with Vince Neil just being in Nevada. I mean, he beat up one of our hookers at the Bunny Ranch. And he's a violent, terrible, fat Yeti from the Christmas cartoon stop-motion animation. I mean, I just don't like the guy. He thinks he can get away with everything. And then as soon as he gets called on his shit, you know, I don't remember what happened exactly, but something to the effect like he paid off the chick to shut her mouth, which is what happens, or what used to happen. But now all these the SJWs on Twitter, you notice they don't go after things like that. They'll go after things that are trending at the moment. So right now, saying bad things about the Holocaust or Jews is, well, that's the thing. Yet Family Guy, every episode, is all making fun of Jewish people. I don't understand. What is there to make fun of Jewish people? I don't even know what the stereotypes are. In fact, what did they just come out that they said the person that ratted out Anne Frank was a Jew? He was just trying to save himself and his own family. Well, wouldn't you? You were storing somebody and hiding someone in your walls. Of course you're going to rat him out to save the lives of your family if you think it'll do it. God, I've said the J word like 10 times now. Am I canceled? Is that how this works? Shit. But anyway, it just doesn't make sense that the way the world used to work is kind of how we derogatorily, if that's not even a word, portrayed the mafia, yet that's exactly what happened. You paid people off to shut up. You got away with whatever you wanted if you had your hands in the right pockets. Yet you always kept dirt on somebody to rat them out and blackmail them should they try and do the same thing to you. Or if somebody fucks you over, you got a way to fuck them over back. It's just the way the world works. And if you don't do it, you're going to get taken advantage of. You're going to get fucked over. And it's a sad thing. I get so mad when I see my friends going through things. Or they say they have a bad day at work. Or their ex-wife's being a twat waffle to them or something like that. It pisses me off to no end. I watch shows where I see interaction between couples and I'm like, how do you tolerate that bullshit? How do you put up with somebody who tells you when you can or can't have sex? Or where you can and can't spend your money? Or who you get to hang out with. It doesn't work the opposite way. In fact, I'm even almost to the point of starting my own movement of no ma'am, just like Al Bundy. Fucking guys are being treated like shit. We've been taken advantage of for so long, and now certain types of heterosexual males are really being demonized right now. I mean, there is nothing I could do other than my charisma and personality to get people not to hate me that don't know me. You come to my town, you see me standing there watching a band or having a drink in a bar, 9 times out of 10, someone's going to hate me just because of the way I look and try and pick a fight with me. But to stay on topic with this whole thing, I've gotten away with a lot of things because of my status in the community, because of who I know. But for the most part, I was doing things to either be left alone or to protect somebody else. That's why I love doing security and being a bouncer. I loved protecting people and picking on the douchebags that thought they were hot shit and proving them wrong. But you can't do it in this day and age. One of the very last altercations before I walked off my job at security at that biker bar, I threw out a black guy who hadn't paid his bill and was going around trying to hustle drinks from everyone. And I said, you can't be doing that. They're just kicking me out because I'm black. And I said, no, I'm kicking you out because you're not paying your fucking bill. But you can't do that. I'm black. What does that have to do with anything? Seriously, that literally has nothing to do with anything. You're being a douchebag. You're drunk. That right there is means for you to be kicked out. You're not paying your bill. That's another reason to be kicked out. I didn't single you out of the bar because you were darker skinned than anyone else in the bar. That's not how this works. And as I'm not touching him, escorting him out, he pulls out his phone and he's like, well, you're going on World Star. Yeah, another white boy going down. We're taking this motherfucker down. What's your name? Oh, look at this. I got you. You're on World Star. Man, look at this. Oh, what's the name of this place? Oh, yeah, you're taking my ID? Oh, I see how it is. Just on and on and on. The dude wouldn't fucking shut up. And I start calling this shit. I told him my name. I told him where I worked. I said, gave him the address. I said, this is where you want. You're looking for a reaction. You're waiting for me to touch you so you have video evidence that you were harassed. You're waiting to get thrown out. You're waiting for me to say something stupid, or you're trying to goad me into saying the hard R. And like, fuck. That's what they do. And when I say they, I didn't mean black people. I'm talking about they as in today's society. That's what they do. They're trying to find something on you. They're trying to find some... The thing is, people don't want to work. People don't want to make their own life. They want to ride other people's coattails. So they find a way to buck the system, get money for nothing, or get notoriety for nothing, and use someone else's celebrity to their own benefit. And when that doesn't work, they try and take them down. So, given the fact that we know how celebrities are, you know, maybe it's half and half. I don't really know. I don't know what it's like to be around modern celebrities. The people I know are all, you know, 80s, 90s, early 2000 era celebrity kind of thing. I don't know this whole influencer. You're not a celebrity because you have a million followers. I don't care what the fuck you say. You might get a sponsorship for telling little girls that they're not beautiful and that if their thighs touch, they're fat, and you get makeup rewards for that as a Instagram model, which is a fucking terrible thing, but, you know, that's what they do. It's a shitty world out there. So, you know, I don't know what to say other than I hate that people that don't deserve to be treated like shit get treated like shit and douchebags get away with it. And I wish there was a fix for that. I wish getting the right person in a political office would fix that. I wish having an actual justice system would fix that. But it doesn't. It just seems no matter what, you have to be selfish in this world, take advantage of people to get what you want, and still have a little bit of dirt on someone just in case they aren't, you know, pimps would say that if you're not in pocket. That's a sad world, folks. All right, that's my little blurb on that. Go watch it, see what you think. It is actually a pretty funny and hilarious show, so definitely well worth the watch. But stay safe and sane. It is nap time, and I am having a meatloaf coma.